This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And you know what I love about All Star Vacation Homes is all the great space, all the great amenities, and all not all the great little high prices I have to pay. In fact, All Star Vacation Homes has such a great place for such a low price. You know what? Go to the website. Go to allstarvacationhomes.com. Just browse around old internet web surfing style. Clicking around. Click. And see all the different houses they have. And then check out the prices at the bottom, because you know what? They're really not bad at all. Especially you look at what you're going to pay for all the stuff you get. Huge amounts, lots of space, private pools, movie rooms, game rooms, themed rooms for the kiddies, full-size kitchens. I mean, there's just a lot that goes into an All-Star Vacation Home. Check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Friday, October 24th, 2014, and this is episode 1413 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a blogger for TouringPlans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Where have we come from? Where are we going?
Spaceship Earth.
Yep. Oh, damn.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man. Also, I think, Len, the words we're looking for, oh, good job, Matt. I'm glad you got that. I'm proud of you.
No.
No, those are exactly not the right words.
Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World and host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
That hurts. Good. That's good. Going well. Thanks.
Good. Also joining us on today. By the way, Len, I forgot to ask. In your massive new home that has a little part of the Carousel of Progress, that has, you know, all these little – the Disney Cruise Line shower that I'm never allowed to see. Do you have a fireplace?
Yes.
Is it themed to anything?
It's not. What should it be themed to?
Oh, the fireplace at the Haunted Mansion.
Ooh. Ooh, with a painting over it.
With the painting that changes.
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, the painting should be you, and it would change to look like a skeleton. Instead of what they have there. I think that'd be great.
How can I do it? Let's see. Okay. Who's that? What's that story? A Portrait of Dorian Gray?
Yeah. What you're talking about. They could do it. I think you got to make it a reality.
I'm going to look at how to do that. Okay, I got it.
I mean, it's 1970s technology, so it shouldn't be too hard, right?
No, I mean, a few tens of thousands of dollars should do it, right?
That's Tuesday for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's another, yeah.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Don't give me any ideas. I can't afford any new ideas.
Also joining us on today's show, the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome to the show, Annette.
Hey, we just need to tell Mary the ideas, Mike. We know who does the work.
That's right. Me.
Me. It's just that quietly.
She can't
I'm going to tell Mary to listen to this show.
No, you're not.
She's not going to listen anyway.
No. There's no worry about that. It's not happening.
On today's show, we're talking about what we wish we knew when we first started going to Walt Disney World compared to what we know today. And Mr. Scopa, you brought this idea up. Tell us a little bit about why you chose this topic.
Well, the reason why I chose this topic is because on another podcast that I co-host, I thought about doing that regarding races and things that people aren't aware of before they go on their very first run Disney race. So I thought, gee, you know, the same thing applies to Walt Disney World. As adults, we go, we're all excited. We try to read up. But when we get there, you know, we have a good time. And then I think that for a lot of us, as we think back, we think, wow, it would have been really helpful if we had been aware of this or if we had known about this or that. And it's something that we all go through. So thinking about that and thinking about the kind of listeners we have all types of listeners, veterans, and also people going for the first time, are people who haven't been haven't been there for a while. So I'm thinking maybe this would be a good time to think back about our own experiences, because sometimes the things that we think about the most may also be something that would help our listeners. So that's why I thought about it.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea because, of course, there's so many things that we've learned over the years compared to when we first started. And, you know, when you think about, you know, your first couple of trips to Disney World, and I think one thing, and I tell this a lot of times, people ask me, you know, Matt, you know, are you going to buy DVC? And I said, probably not, or I'm thinking about it, but man, I wish I bought it when Newell did. And if I think one thing is if I, you know, was of the age that I had a job and everything like that, and I had the money back then, or I wish we bought DVC back in the 90s, because man, that would have been a huge investment, a really good investment, you know, back then, and what it's become now, because, you know, Mike, you paid that off what, you know, 20 years ago?
I paid that off in 2002.
Oh, yeah. So
did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, a while ago. And so, but since then, he's had these, you know, dues aside, you know, these paid for trips. And on what Mike paid for him is nothing compared to what people are paying for them now.
I paid
the same amount of points.
$54 a point.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a biggie for me. I wish I would have bought DVC even back when we first started this podcast, because the 2008 DVC point pricing versus today is just night and day different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott, what about you? You brought up this topic. What was something you think about?
You know, it's funny, man. I never thought about that, but I think I could have bought DVC points for like $38 a point. But the thing is that if I had known back then how many times I'd be going, yeah, I would have thought that. But that's something that, you know, I don't know if I can justify. I think one of the things that I think I would have probably spent more time on, the first time I went was in the 70s, so it was quite a different resort. But I think, I mean, it was crowded back then. I think that what I wish I had known was what kind of discounts were available. I really didn't spend a lot of time thinking about that. I just wanted to go. I wanted to experience it. I really didn't care. And afterwards, I realized how much it cost and everything. And I thought, gee, I wonder if I could have, you know, done a better job of checking to see what kind of discounts, if they had. I don't even know if they had annual passes back in the 70s. But there are things that I probably could have done better. I probably could have done a better job of researching. Not only that, but thinking about when the best times would be to eat. I had to experience that. And, you know, nowadays I tell people, you know, don't try to take a lunch, early lunch or a late lunch. Try not to go at noon, because you may have a tough time finding, you know, a restaurant. But I think that's the top of the list with me is I probably should have done more research and thought about carefully what exactly I was going to do and plan my day. I just didn't do that. So those are the things that I keep thinking about.
But the internet has helped that greatly in the past 20
years. Yeah, I think
you're
right, Mike, you know. I think you're right.
When I first went, the only thing I had was I went to Blockbuster Video and rented a VHS copy of Orlando, hosted by Willard Scott. And he
really?
That's all I had.
I don't know whether to laugh at you rented it or if Blockbuster carried it.
There's just so many interesting things about that entire period.
Think about it. I lived in the Bronx, so there was a copy of this videotape sitting on a shelf in Blockbuster in the Bronx. And I actually bought it at a flea market years later, and I put it up on my YouTube channel. It's up there. I'll put it in the show notes. But that's all I had to go on. I didn't know about the books. I didn't know about anything. So all I had was this Willard Scott video.
Wow.
Len, what about you?
I mean, for my first few trips, we never stayed on site, and we never stayed more than a day or, you know, two, than a couple of days. It was never enough time to see everything in depth. And there's a huge difference in staying off site versus staying on site. I think that's one thing that I would, well, of course, I was a kid at the time when I first went, so I didn't really have a choice, but I would have, would have liked to have stayed on site, you know, more. It's not really true. I mean, I had fun. Remember when you would in the old motels, they used to have those vibrating beds, the magic finger beds, which, by the way, you can still buy. One of my fondest traveling memories is of my dad feeding quarters into the magic fingers bed, so my sister and I could feel the bed vibrate when we were sleeping on it. That was fun.
It was like an attraction.
And the term magic finger bed came from whom?
What's the name of the company that makes the thing?
Is it really? I thought maybe your dad had just made that up.
No, Len's not yet. No, I've heard that term as well.
Killing me. Yeah, it's you can actually buy the mechanism and.
How about not leaving the bagels in Biff the Wonder Car?
Ah, yeah, that's
that's crazy. Oh yeah,
we drove all the time, and I still drive now. That's the thing, but you know, going down, we go down for a weekend, and you know, so I really think you know. The other thing I thought that I would we should do is at a rest day after a couple of days. Maybe when I was young, I could go, you know, 5, 6, 7 straight days, but now you know, after every couple of days of touring, I really need sort of like a morning just to sleep in. Mm. Yeah,
good point. Kind of related to the parks. I mean, it's technically in the parks division. I would have said I would have tried the Disney Cruise Line earlier because I didn't start it until, what, Mouse Fest? That, wow. Whatever that cruise was that Mike and I
twisted your arm and made you go?
Yeah, exactly.
That was your first
literally.
One? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish we would have tried it a little earlier and gotten in on that back when pricing was sort of normal. That would have been nice. Annette, what about you? What's something that you wish you knew back then about besides quitting your accounting career?
Well, mine's kind of like Lynn's. We always stayed off property. And so then it meant we were the family with the young kids, family of five. So, you know, it was difficult at Disney to find a place for a family of five. And who wants to share one room with five people, right? So we always stayed off property. But then it was commando, go, 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 go. But again, you know, there was no way for breaks because who wanted to leave, come back? To then drive back down 192.
Exactly.
You know? So by the time you left, you were like, not going through that again. So that was a big one. I think the other thing is we always made it so at first we used to try and do everything down in Orlando. So you would go to Universal, you would go to SeaWorld. Oops, SeaWorld would come back another day. So that might would take a day away from something else. It was always go, go, go. And I mean, my kids would tell you there was no breaks. You just kept trucking. So I really think that's one thing that, you know, as a parent, please think about your children. They need a break.
Well, it's someone think of the children.
You know, I mean, my kids just, if they didn't like it, we were not the family that used strollers either. Just, you know, so the kids screaming was on my shoulders and we just kept on going. But, you know, but it was just the mentality of, my husband and I at the time, that was just, it was go, go, go. This is vacation. We spent the money. We're going to, you know, I mean, it's just, we're going to see it all. Dang it. We're going to see it.
Funny.
Is there a ride or attraction or show that you guys wish you would have seen or done or ridden more?
Swan boats.
Yeah.
I never did them either.
Yeah, I vaguely remember them.
I did them. Yeah.
I was thinking the sky bucket ride.
Oh, I've done that.
Oh, I hated that.
I did that once. That was enough.
I don't like anything that rocks and you think you're gonna.
I went on with my grandparents when they were retired, and my grandmother was terrified of everything, so she wouldn't let us stand up or peep our heads over the edge because she thought that not only would we fall out, but we would like try and grab onto anything as we were falling out, and we would actually tip over the scullery bucket and cause her to fall out.
She was concerned. She was going.
This is what she would tell us. Like, she's like, oh, I know you're going to kill yourself. It's the killing me part.
She doesn't care about that. What happened to Len? He fell out. I don't know.
We've already written off the children. In other words, I'm just trying to make it over there to Space Mountain.
She just wants to cut down on the collateral damage.
Oh, funny.
You know what's great about that is it made a 90-degree turn.
I know, right?
That was pretty cool at the time.
What do you mean? Was it like when it was coming in?
Yeah.
No. It came back down and made like a left-hand turn. It would just turn 90 degrees and go back up again.
It's better to make three right-hand turns, Mike, than a left turn.
And your box of wine.
I was thinking it was probably spending more time, because I vaguely remember the difference between Horizons and World of Motion. Like
you vaguely remember the difference between Horizons and the World of Roshan.
My mind, what? Like I know the difference, wow. But like if I try to match,
I'm not mad. I frequently,
I'm not mad.
Frequently, Matt, find it difficult to remember the difference between Disney's Hollywood Studios and Carowinds.
Sure.
I mean, they're exactly the same as far as I'm concerned. One of the Dale Earnhardt ride is where again?
I'm just saying the ride.
So am I. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Scopa?
I think one of the things that I think about is I used to go just in the summertime, and it took me a while to convince myself, you know, I should see what it's like in the fall. And then one year I went in December, and it was like, whoa. This is like being here for the very first time all over again. And I think that if there's someone out there who goes only in the summertime, maybe because their kids are in school.
Maybe it makes them feel fine.
Yeah, sure. I really think that they should consider going this time of year. Spring, I guess, too. But this time of year, I think, is just an outstanding time to go because there's so many things you can do. And I also think going down probably the first week in December and just experience what it's like to be down there during the holidays. It was really amazing. I think the biggest discovery I found was that even though I was in Florida, I still felt it was during the Christmas season. I didn't think I would feel that way because it's Florida, you know, but I really, you know, and every year we've done Mouse Fest or Reunion, and I look forward to going down and experiencing that resort during the holidays. So I think that's something that I wish I had adapted early on to.
Yeah, choosing the season that you go down is a biggie. I remember when I, in 2004, I went down for my first solo trip, and I wish I'd done that earlier. I was afraid of the stigma of going solo.
What?
And
what stigma?
Stigma, you know, it's like you know, telling your family, yeah, I'm going to Disney World. Oh, cool. Who are you going with? By myself.
Don't tell anybody. Just go.
Yeah. Well,
you just go.
That's what I know now. But before, that was
look at what he learned.
And I learned two things. And along Mike's lines, I went in February, first week in February, and it was crowds were so low and the weather was perfect. So it was like, wow, what a revelation. But just going solo in general, I wish I had gotten over that a lot earlier. And I had just gone. I remember in college, I went with, because again, I had this stigma about going. So I convinced one of my friends to go with me, and he had such a terrible time. And
really?
I had a terrible time because
he was a miserable trip.
Yeah, it was a miserable trip because I forced him to go, and like he was not on the same wavelength as I was about this. So, you know, in the end, I just did, you know, it could have been so much of a better trip if I had just gotten over my myself essentially and just left my ego at the door. So that's a big one. Going solo, making that jump. I wish I had known that earlier.
I think you know, would have learned about staying at a vacation home sooner, and I realized that they're sponsoring our show and everything. But the amount of relaxation that you get is just different. So remember, I talked about earlier about having like an off day.
Yeah,
there really is nothing like coming back and you know, getting the theme park sweat and grime off of you by hopping into a cool pool.
Yeah, I mean, the one person who showed me how to vacation at a vacation home was one Mike Newell.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, Mike, you want to go to the parks? Nah, nope, not really.
No, I do not, sir.
There is nothing.
Because Mike and I, we would watch, we put on Star Wars in the movie room. You know, you go had a barbecue by the pool. I mean, we did a lot of fun things. I mean, when Scopa brought that pizza, I still. Every time we bring that up, I just right now I'm thinking about how good that thing was. We did that because we were at a vacation. I remember, Len, we had the chef over there cooking for us.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, if you must.
Wow.
There is nothing better than spending the day all by yourself at one of the all-star vacation homes just doing nothing.
And I have to say, they're just beautiful. They're just beautiful. They're better than any house I've ever had.
That's just it. You feel like you're rich for a day. You feel like you're actually wealthy for a day.
Yep.
And the other one I would probably tell myself, I wish I had gotten annual passes earlier. I remember trying to like scrounge up money for tickets. And along those lines, I would have gone for the annual pass. And back then it was a steal. Here's one. I was going to say the Tales of Wonderland card. But what do you guys think about Remember the old Magic Kingdom Club card?
Oh yeah, I had that too.
I remember the gold. Yeah. I had a gold.
Was that worth it?
Yeah, it was, because every once in a while, I remember one year they sent me. I don't know why it was a gold card member, but they sent me a sort of an option. I could have special viewing area to watch Illuminations, or I forget what the other option was, but I selected the special viewing area, and it was the Isolotta in Italy. And I remember being watching it, and there were like only a few of us there. There might have been about 10 people. And I remember turning behind us, and there were cast members who were guarding that area. And there were hundreds of people who could not get up to the railing like I was, because they didn't have that. But that was like before, I guess, the annual pass. And when you mentioned annual pass, Matt, I mean, I can remember back. I shouldn't tell you this, but my first annual pass was $165.
And, oh goodness!
And the thing was that not only was it like that, but you could renew it, and then you could put it in a drawer, and then when you used it 2 years later, it was the same. So I think that the first time I got my annual pass was kind of funny, because when I knew I had admission to the parks, it made me think, okay, I've got that cost taken care of. And it made me want to get down there faster. It made me push myself to pamper myself more. So I think one of the things I didn't know was that an annual passport would be burning in my pocket, and it would encourage me and motivate me to go down more and to pamper myself, like we probably don't do enough of, you know, except for us probably. But, you know, that's my point. The annual passport meant more than just admission for 1 year. It meant that Walt Disney World was calling me.
Yeah. Very good. Good stuff all around. So thank you very much for the topic, Mr. Scopa. And thank you to All Star Vacation Homes, in fact, for sponsoring today's episode. And you heard some of our discussion about All Star Vacation Homes, how great they are. And you know what? It's the truth. Even though they are sponsors, you know, it's such a great time when you go to All Star Vacation Home. Again, it's what you get. It's not just another place. We're not just changing out one hotel for another. This is an experience. This is an opportunity to have lots of space, lots of great amenities. And I think Len might have said it, is that it's better than your actual house. Like, there's better stuff in it. There's, you know, there's, I don't have a movie room. I don't have a game room. I definitely don't have my kids' room themed, unless you count a poster on the wall. I mean, you know, I do have a full size kitchen, but this kitchen has better countertops than mine does. I mean, there's so many things about this. There's comfy couches. There's pools, which I don't have. I mean, there's so many great things about a vacation home. And again, the price. This isn't a vacation home that you're paying, you know, up the yin yang for. No. You're paying great rates, in fact. Can I say up the yin yang, Noel?
I don't know. This might be an FCC violation.
Well, All Star Vacation Homes is a great deal. Honestly, you got to check them out. Just go to their website right now, allstarvacationhomes.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, and the fabulous Annette Owens, I'm Matt Hotchberg. See you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.